Good morning, everyone. I'm in the midst of retreat. I've been on retreat the past 5 days, and then after Masses, I'll be heading back onto retreat as well. But I've been praying for you all in these past days, and so it's good to be with you as well and celebrate this Trinity Sunday Mass together with you. I was driving in because I'm just staying just outside of town in a little house on the prairie, and driving in early this morning, it was all foggy, and the mist was coming down, and it was in the midst of the little badlands, and I was like, it looks like Ireland here. Looks like Ireland. What a perfect morning to preach on the Trinity. You Czechs don't get it. St. Patrick, the three-leaf clover, how he taught with the Trinity, all the rest of this. The few people who have Irish blood, they understand. But out on retreat, you know, it's beautiful because it's just silence. And I brought just the sacred scriptures, a spiritual book, and as well, Pope Leo XIV's encyclical that he just released last Monday. He released it on Monday, and then Tuesday, after a funeral, I went on retreat, and I printed it off and took it with me. It's his encyclical letter, which is called Magnificata Humanitatis, the grandeur of humanity, which is this wondrous name, isn't it? The grandeur of humanity. And then you read what he addresses within it. It's addressing the question of AI, artificial intelligence. And two-thirds of you just check out right away. You're like, what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with our faith, AI? Well, the Holy Father would respond, in short, eventually, everything. Pope Leo speaks about the time that we are living in now as a change of eras. We're not just living in an era of a lot of changes happening, but rather it's a change of eras in which we're leaving an era that was, and we're entering into a whole new era. And the era that we're leaving was one of the Industrial Revolution, which began in the mid-1800s. But think just for a moment of everything that that upended just in regular life here in our country. You went from where people lived, the vast majority of people, over 80-some percent, they lived on farms, on the land. After the Industrial Revolution, about 80-some percent of people live in the cities. It was a complete switch. The jobs that people worked, all the changes that came from it, some very good, some very real and ill. The conflict between labor and capital, right? As well as the industrialization of warfare, which to look at the two world wars and see the capacity of humanity for bloodshed that was never even imaginable before. And you know, when someone is elected pope, as just over a year ago, Pope Leo was, within minutes after them being elected, the head cardinal goes to them and asks them, what name do you choose? Now, he had a great name already. Robert Provost, right, Deacon? And he could have realistically just decided to keep that name. He would have been Robert the First. Strong name, strong pontificate, new beginning. I maybe would have done that. But again, I'm not and never will be elected the Pope. But instead, right at the beginning, immediately after he was elected Pope, he made a decision to choose the name Leo. And he chose this name he spoke about for a very specific reason. Because the last person who had the name Leo, Pope Leo XIII, was the Pope right in the midst of the Industrial Revolution. the end of the 1800s, and he wrote to the church and to people of all people of goodwill, the first of the social encyclicals helping the world to navigate this new era of the Industrial Revolution through the wisdom of the church, the wisdom of Christ, which is ever ancient and ever new, to warn of the dangers within it, but also to help navigate our way through it. And Pope Leo was this pope during this last great era of change, this change of era. And he recognized, Robert Provost did, that we are living in the midst now of another change of eras, and that his pontificate would be shaped by this. And so he chose the name Leo. And this is the first encyclical letter to the church that he writes on the grandeur of humanity and the question of artificial intelligence. Pope Leo XIII wrote his encyclical in 1891. This is the release of Pope Leo's encyclical, which he was trained in college as a mathematician. And so the encyclical itself, it's very clear and logical in its orientation, but it's vast in its scope. It touches on a lot of different things. Everything from the effect that this digital revolution has and will have on the family and education, to the work and warfare. But I want to draw your attention just to one thing. One thing I want to draw your attention to. And it's right in the heart, in the middle of the encyclical. One thing in 3 points. The first of which we've already covered. He says we are entering into a new era. This era of artificial intelligence. The second point is this. He has a section right in the heart of the encyclical, which is entitled, What Must Not Be Lost? That is the second point. What is the grave danger that he sees here? Because he talks about all sorts of practical things, how the workforce is going to change, all this stuff. But he says there's something that must not be lost. And he says it is our humanity. Like, what are you talking about, our humanity? It's our humanity that must not be lost. He says, quote, there is a risk that extends beyond the misuse of certain technologies. And he says this risk is our central question. Because underneath all the practical questions is what he calls the underlying narrative. In that you see, there's all these practical questions, but he says, what is it the people who are at the very core of this technological development, what is it that some, maybe even a number, view as the end that they're working toward? Yes, we can talk about ChatGPT on your phone. Yes, you can talk about too much screen time and what that does, how we don't have to, all those sort of things. But the Pope is pointing, he's saying there's something deeper. There's an underlying narrative. There's a current of thought, he said, at the core of these circles who are the key people in artificial intelligence. And he says what they see as the greatest evil, and what they want to eliminate are our limitations as human beings. They see your limitations and mine, and we have many of them. The things that we're born with, the decline as we age, illnesses, suffering of all sort, all the sort of limitations that we have, they see as the things that have to be overcome. And he puts a name to it. He says that many of these people ascribe to a transhumanism, and even some at its extreme, a posthumanism. And you're like, what are you talking about? This sci-fi sounding stuff. What are you getting at? Transhumanism being the enhancement of human beings through technology. Posthumanism being a human-machine hybrid. Things, in other words, the use of technology that can help us transcend our human limitations. And you may think, that's just crazy. That's just all sort of sci-fi talk. Well, the people who are working toward this, they take it very seriously. They talk very openly about it. And who else takes it very seriously is the Holy Father. Because he says at the heart of this, and the key issue, he says, is, quote, not the use of technology as such, but Pope Leo says the key issue is the vision that underlies it. That the human being, the human person, is becoming seen as something that is to be perfected, or even through the use of technology, surpassed. And what this means, he says, is that some lives which are filled with imperfections and all sorts of limitations, will be seen as less useful. You and your limitations, less desirable, less worthy of life, and that it'll be seen that sacrifices have to be made for the sake of our human species. What thereafter, in other words, especially in its most extreme, is to live forever. And you may roll your eyes, but this is precisely what they are seeking to accomplish. Pope Leo speaks about it as trying to build a Tower of Babel. You know, in Babel, the people who lost sight of God tried to build their way up to heaven. That the end goal is to eliminate and to be able to transcend our human limitations. That eventually, at least for some, they'll be able to have eternal life in this world. This Tower of Babel, Pope Leo says, without God, it will end in the same way that the Tower of Babel did itself. Their goal, in other words, is to be God. Okay. This is the dark part of it. In the very next section, though, he turns to what I find to be within the encyclical the most beautiful and light-filled part of the entire thing. He entitles it The Limit, the heart and grandeur of the human person. Because what are limitations that we're filled with and that we're born with? What our limitations do, he says, is they open us up. They open us to one another and to God, and to be able to enter into real communion with others as well. He says, we must remember that humanity flourishes not despite limitations, but often through them. And that the greatest men and women throughout history are those who, in the midst of their own limitations and others, were able to live in a particular way. And he points to precisely within our limitations, they were able to live and find a place for true and real compassion, as well as a sincere concern for the needs of others. A generosity that can emerge even in the midst of darkness and failure, and a spiritual experience of and the worship of God. That what our human limitations open us up to, everyone, is it opens us up to the possibility of entering into communion with God. I had a friend in college. My sophomore year, he moved just down the hall. His name was Bob, and he was blind. We were in philosophy class together, and so every Tuesday, Thursday, at 9 o'clock in the morning, we would walk across campus, and I would guide him. He had his walking stick. He was completely blind from birth. And every class, I would walk him to class. I'd sit next to him, and he asked if I could take notes for him, which was ridiculous because he had this little typing thing, and he would type out basically verbatim everything the professor was saying. And so I'm like, ha! He's the one taking notes for me. This is great. But we would walk back from class, and we would be talking. We talk oftentimes a while afterward, too. It was philosophy class afterward, after all. And I remember we were talking about something with Aristotle and talking about our accidents and the human limitations and all this sort of stuff. And he had said something that kind of surprised me. Because I had said, you know, Bob, if there was some cure for your blindness, you know, you'd obviously want that, right? He said, yeah, I think so, but actually, I don't know. If they had a chip they could implant in which I could just see all of a sudden, I mean, there's a huge part of me which I would really want that. But actually, I don't know. And I couldn't understand. Can you? Really, like, can you understand that? He was 19 years old. He'd been blind from birth. And yes, there's a part of him that got excited about if there was something he was able to be healed miraculously or some technology that could make him see. But he said, I don't know. I'm not sure. When every bit of me would be like, yes, absolutely. And he said, because my blindness has opened me up to so many beautiful relationships in my life that I know I would have never had otherwise, like your own. And you see, Bob saw a lot more than I did. He said, there's so many things that would be actually lost if I were able to see again. And so I just don't know. And besides, in heaven, I'll be able to see perfectly and understand why I was given this gift. It's our human limitations, everyone, that open us up to becoming more human. That is another way of saying it, more humane. Through compassion, through generosity. And it opens us up not just to others, but first of all, to God. The great danger is what cuts us off. And yes, in a very practical level, technology can cut us off from God, and it can cut us off from others. But what is even deeper beneath that is what Pope Leo points to. Because he says, there's something deeply good in what they are after. Those who are the transhumanists or the posthumanists, there's something really good that they want to get to. But where they're seeking it, they will not find it. And he says, what does it look like? What would it look like to become more human than we are? What would it look like to transcend our humanity? He says, this is not a divinization from below where we can create through all our genius something which will raise us up like the Tower of Babel so that we become like gods. Instead, he said, that has already happened. What it looks like to become more human, to transcend our humanity, not just transcend it, but for our humanity to be lifted up is what has already happened in divine love coming down. And that God has come down into our limitations and into our weaknesses to lift us up into the very life of God. The reason he has created us and the reason that he has redeemed us by his grace. And it's his grace which enters into our limitations. It's our grace that enters into our weakness and it opens us up to that grace. And the reason he has done all this is so that we might enter into his life, that we might become like God. So united to Jesus Christ that we become like him. We become him, present in this world. And we actually achieve what they're seeking after. They want eternal life, but they don't believe in any transcendent God. But we have a God who has given us eternal life and has given us the promise that our bodies will be redeemed. The blind will see. The crippled will walk. You who are losing your memory, that'll be back too. You'll see all your memories at once. Everything that you've lived. That he has redeemed us. And what that means for us is that this desire, which is so innate in those who have such great power and such great money, and is the undercurrent of all this, that what they are seeking after, God has already brought down to us to lift us up. It's his grace that does this. Not our own technological savvy. It's God who lifts us up into his very Trinitarian life. Pope Leo says that what saves humanity is not enhanced self-sufficiency, but a relationship with Christ that liberates and a communion that transforms. Humanity, in all its grandeur and woundedness, must never be replaced or surpassed. We can embrace the technological progress that alleviates suffering and unlocks new possibilities, provided that we do not abandon the very essence of our humanity, namely the capacity for relationship and love. And that capacity for relationship and love is the image of the Trinity within each of us. To close with the words that he has in his closing chapter. For this reason, as a believer among believers, I invite everyone to contemplate the face of the Son of God, who is the grandeur of humanity, the one who shines a light also on the era of AI. No computational system, however sophisticated, can create a heart that gives itself or a conscience that discerns good from evil. Even when machines excel in efficiency, a human face that asks to be gazed upon remains the center of our history. This human face is the fullness toward which history is moving. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. All praise, glory, and honor be his, now and forever. Amen.